You're listening to The Brian and Gina Show, the official podcast of LA Magazine. Here are your hosts, Brian and Gina.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Brian and Gina Show, the official podcast of Los Angeles Magazine. I'm Gina Grad.
I'm Brian Bishop.
A collarless
Brian. I know. This is a gym day. Came straight from the my workout.
Wow.
And so here
it's
we are.
Gina and Jack LaLanne today.
What do I got?
Very exciting.
My t-shirt. I'm in my 40s, by the way. Wearing a He-Man t-shirt. Man. This is a logo designed after the Air Jordan logo.
Wow.
But it is a He-Man. It says, have power. I'm grown up.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
I
suddenly had flashbacks to your last year's Halloween costume, which has been so many news cycles away. I don't even know if people remember it.
Can I tell you something? I still have that shirt, and it's a good shirt. I hesitate to wear that around town.
I don't blame you. Will you remind everyone what you did for Halloween, what you were?
I found a great shirt to wear. It was it said Ocean Gate Safety Inspector. Ocean Gate being the ill-fated company that sent down a submersible to see the wreckage of the Titanic, became wreckage at the Titanic, and thus I wore hilariously Ocean Gate Safety Inspector shirt, along with a handy accessory, an Xbox controller, off-brand Xbox controller, which is what they use to power the sub.
Right.
To steer the sub.
Yeah. For those of you who are new, welcome. This is these are your hosts.
I'm coming at them with a hard sell.
So we're going to get into weekends. Weekends also for Brian involve another movie review, a movie that I am like not familiar with, but I'm not the audience.
But it's also not getting a huge push. I'm talking about the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, the new Guy Ritchie movie. Yeah. No, it is not. It's not getting quite the push that you would expect.
Yeah. So he can fill us in because I'm not filled in at all. We have some listener questions. We have all kinds of things to get to. So let's jump right in. Do you want to kick things off?
Not just some listener questions. We solicited a couple of weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago for us some questions.
Yeah.
We got a bunch. I mean, we only got around to answering one or two.
Yeah.
And I said, well, enough shortchanging our listeners. I like when listeners are part of our show. I love when they participate and send questions and all that stuff. So we have a whole batch, which we'll do our best to mow down everyone.
Yeah, then let's rock and roll. Let's get through this weekend because I think we have some, I know we have some movie reviews, some restaurant reviews, some things for you to do while you are tooling around in LA. So let's get to it. And then let's mow down some of these questions, like you said.
A legendary LA area restaurant closing. I don't know if you've heard about this, but I'll be sharing the news.
Please
perhaps don't. Some saber rattling. Like, you know, a lot of companies these days will do the Twinkie thing where it's like, oh, we're going out of business. Next thing you know, it's like, hey, we're back. And nothing really happened.
Oh, I just call it the Kiss farewell tour.
Oh, like this is the last one.
Been happening for the last 37 years.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So you want to kick us off?
Sure. So I'll pay off that breaking news that I came across again. Don't know how real it is, but you're familiar with Patrick's Roadhouse out there in Malibu?
I'm familiar with its existence. I've never been.
Oh, I have. It's supposedly closing. I don't know how real this is. I don't know if we'll be shocked to learn in a week that, oh, it's been saved. It's coming back. But Patrick's Roadhouse is a famous LA eatery out in Malibu on PCH. Great location, great view of the ocean. Very kitschy when you drive by. First of all, the color scheme is green. And secondly, on their roof, there are giant dinosaurs and cowboys and all manner of things that light the child driving in your car. I don't know the relationship between Patrick's Roadhouse and this magazine or this podcast. I'll simply say I wish they had put as much energy into their food as they had into their decor. We went there once, and it won't be the first place I'll recommend. people go to in Malibu.
Yeah, we've recommended a lot of Malibu eateries. This has never come up.
It could be Santa Monica. I don't exactly know. It's right there on the border. But an iconic place, a place that people speak highly of for some reason. And apparently it's closing. We'll see.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're dying to go to Patrick's Roadhouse for the first time or for the last time, better get on that.
And if you decide Patrick's Roadhouse isn't for you, again, I couldn't recommend Texas Roadhouse any higher. So get yourself out to Corona for one of those steaks.
Those are opposite directions.
Yeah, apparently it's technically in Santa Monica, but you're right. There's this sort of gray area of beach stretch that could really be either one. So you'll pass it if you're going to the beach, and then you can make a game time.
Sure, that makes sense.
For the time
sense.
Being. Yeah.
So my wife and child were out of town for Friday and Saturday. So I dropped them off at the airport on Thursday night.
Where
and
did they go?
When in Rome, Gina, when in Rome, I got to stop by In-N-Out.
Sure.
The Southern California staple. First time I've been in and out in probably 6 months, maybe not more.
Where are your wife and child?
They're back, but they were in Phoenix visiting uncle and cousins. So our sister-in-law, who lives in Phoenix, is a pediatric cardiac nurse.
Oh,
and
boy.
She went to Fiji as part of a mission to do a whole bunch of surgeries out there on, like, you know, cardiac patients. So she's out there saving the world, literally. And, you know, they're going to go out and help the uncle with all the child rearing. Because they have two little ones, and they are they're a delight, but they're a lot.
Oh, I'm sure Tessa was totally in charge of them.
Oh, my God. Tessa ran the show.
Yeah, great. Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
For better or for worse.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. It's great for Tessa.
Of course.
So you went to In-N-Out. It's been a while. You went to the one by the airport, I imagine. The one we all wait at. That's the one we wait at when you have to go pick someone up.
Yes, when you're talking about LAX. However, the family flew out of Long Beach, which was a delightful drive on a Thursday evening for a 5 o'clock flight. Just the best. But, you know, I'm like, while I'm down here, when in Rome, so to speak, and to help myself to a double-double, just delightful. I'm not going to sell anyone in and out, but, you know, it's
you're either in or out.
It's one of those LA staples that you either do a lot or a little.
Right.
And me, I do it a little. And it was time.
Yeah, good, good.
So Friday, I got the place to myself. Oh, sorry, you're going to say?
No, please, continue.
Got the place to myself on Friday, so I do what I love doing best, going to the movies alone. I went to see, and this is where the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare figures in. It is the new film directed by Guy Ritchie. You might know him from Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch and so many movies. I think he has a new series out now. Called The Gentleman, based on, I believe, his movie, The Gentleman, which is solid. And if you're in, here's his recommendation, I think you might like, Gina. Are you familiar at all with a movie that came out called Wrath of Man? It came out in 2021.
No.
Wrath of Man is notable for no other reason than it was the first movie I went back to the theaters to see after COVID. Wow. And that was... it's a solid movie. I wouldn't say it's a game changer, but I really enjoyed it. It's very solid. You can rent it. But I don't know. I'm going to put you on the spot. Gene, do you remember the first movie you saw back in the theaters after COVID ended?
That's a really good question. I should have
prepped you for this.
That's okay. I just have to go through my timeline Facebook carousel. I don't, but I can almost guarantee you it's probably a children's movie.
Oh, nice.
That's, yeah, that's what brings us to the theater the most when the kid's here.
That makes sense. For a lot of people, it's Tenet that came out right around that time.
Oh, yeah. That was frustrating.
I imagine you and I probably were in the mode, as it were, for kids' movies. So The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare stars Henry Cavill, Superman, Isa Gonzalez, Alan Ritson, Tel Schweiger, Henry Golden, Cary Elwes, and Rory Kinnear. Did you see Men from you were just talking about?
I did. Rory Kinnear, extraordinary actor.
Yes.
But tough movie.
Yeah, he plays Winston Churchill in this one, which is quite a he's obviously wearing a heavy prosthetics, no pun intended.
And plays 47 different dudes in Men.
Yeah. Well, this is dude number 48.
Okay.
This is Churchill. in a sudden World War II, as you can imagine. 72% on Rotten Tomatoes is in theaters now. So this, I know a little about World War II, but I'd never heard of Operation Postmaster. This was apparently a real life event. And this movie is sort of a, it's not sort of, it is a highly stylized retelling of Operation Postmaster.
So I don't know anything about this.
Apparently the real story, some undercover British spies, when it went, I guess they went off the coast of Africa where the Germans had a naval base, and they were going to try and sink one of the ships that services all the U-boats, because the U-boats were just laying waste in the submarines, was laying waste to the British Navy. When they found out that it could not be sunk with the weapons they had, they in fact stole the ship. It was a very brazen move.
Well, this was not taught in school.
Never heard of it. Right up front of the noses of the Nazis, apparently. As with all Guy Ritchie movies, this is high on the fun scale. The movie moves. It has a real style to it. Guy Ritchie has this kinetic energy in almost all of his films to varying degrees, but you know what you're going to get. And this movie is pretty fun. I will say, given the historical context, especially, there are shockingly low stakes. And what I mean by that is at no point, literally, I don't believe this ever entered my mind, did I have any fear for any of the characters. You know what I mean? Like
about a World War II movie?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of John Wick-ish in the sense that it's just these guys laying waste to Germans and just killing guys with like brutal efficiency, and like everything kind of goes their way, except for, of course, the obvious flub of like, oh, we can't sink the ship. Well, I guess we'll have to steal it then. And they do. It's fun, but don't expect to be gripped. It's not a white knuckle journey like Civil War. This is more of a delightful romp. In fact, I would recommend people put this on their streaming radar because this is a 3-star movie. It's good. It's above average.
You think Rotten Tomatoes has it right?
Yeah, 72% actually feels just about right. There is very little drama, which is weird, given the historical. It's fun, though. You know what I mean? It's almost like watching like an extended YouTube video where it's like, where it's like really well made and you're like, I'm having a good time. It's like eating eating a marshmallow. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, well, I don't know that I got much from it, but I enjoyed the experience while it lasted. I don't expect to think about this marshmallow tomorrow.
Here's a big Guy Ritchie question. And by the way, ladies, anyone, for those who are like, what else do I know about Guy Ritchie? He and Madonna were shacked up for quite a while.
That's I guess it is in the past. You're right.
Now, the one thing that I, as a non-cinephile like you are, have a problem with Guy Ritchie is I can't understand anything anyone's saying. Is this an issue in this movie?
Not at all. Okay. These are very proper British accents from the 1940s. And Ian Fleming, the real life Ian Fleming, the James Bond author, is a character in this story as a sort of military bureaucrat. But you can tell this is supposedly where he got a lot of ideas for the James Bond character.
Interesting.
It's fun. Imagine a James Bond movie where nothing goes wrong for James Bond.
You know what? That seems like a good time.
It's like
I could use more of that in my life right now.
I sound critical, but honestly, I enjoyed myself. This is a fun. Listen, Civil War. The entire time I'm watching this, I'm just thinking, I could be watching Civil War again. I'm robbing myself this experience. But
in the movie's defense, as you're describing it, and we've talked about this before, I can't stand manufactured high stakes. Like when everything's going right, except for one stupid flub or mistake that ruins it's like watching Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like my ADD alarms go. Yeah. I can't watch people suffer just for the sake of the plot. So this sounds delightful to me.
Yeah. This is a light lift. If you are going to enjoy a World War II movie, I imagine this would be one because it's
not Zone of Interest.
It's a no. This is the opposite. This is a jaunty ride that you're going to watch the British forces kill a bunch of Germans and be delighted while doing so.
I mean, that's quite a review, and now I'm back in. That's
great. It's above average. It's 3 stars. This is not a waste of time. Just unless you're insane like me, don't rush out to see this. Just, when this comes up on your streaming service and you see an ad for it, you're like 6 months down the road, like, oh yeah, the old ball guy thought this is all right.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I think I brought this up on the show. I haven't been able to stop thinking about it. This sounds like what they're apparently calling a good second screen movie Did we not talk about this? Oh, I can't stop thinking about it. I saw someone do an interview on Instagram Reels. She's from some network. And this is so, Brian, this is going to just break your heart.
Please.
They are apparently now giving script notes for new scripts that say this isn't second screen enough. Meaning people will not be able to follow the plot if they are also looking at their phone.
Oh.
And that's the saddest shit ever, but also accurate.
You know, when you said that, I thought you were saying like, oh, second screen, don't rush out and see it on the big screen. Wait until it comes to your TV. But you're saying
worse.
This, the people need to pay attention to this and thus they'll be lost if they're scrolling on the phone.
The script you wrote is not second screen enough. It's not ignorable enough to be able to still follow. Isn't that sad?
Yes. It's a reflection of, where we are as a society. So
to that point, this sounds second screen worthy, where you're not I just missed the biggest plot point ever because I was texting.
I think this is made for the second screen.
Oh God, what is Gary saying? This is even bigger. There are now streaming services that are positioning themselves as second screen services like Tubi. Okay.
I mean, I suppose there's content that's made for like, a good series like Is It a Cake that my child enjoys?
Yeah, It's a perfect, Cake is the best.
Perfect background, second screen material.
100%.
That said,
Happy Days.
If I hear of someone listening to the show, I don't know how this would happen. If I hear about it, doing that with like Civil War, I'm coming through this goddamn screen and choking you out on your second screen.
You heard the warning, everybody.
That's right.
So the rest of the night,
I'm going to the gym now. Don't tempt me.
You probably slid around on the floor to your in your underwear and called Rebecca De Mornay.
I will tell you what's funny. No, I did not do that. She's out of my league. That said, I did hang with some friends who had moved into a place locally very close to us. A pair of friends who totally coincidentally I had ran into at the screening of the Gentlemanly movie earlier that day.
Oh, funny.
So we were able to discuss the film and all of its details. We're all on the same page. They're big cinephiles. So we talked about one of the things that came up was I think I brought it up, but they had either talked about it or agreed how the main Nazi, like SS, like heavy, like the natural comp is like Hans Landa from Inglourious Basterds.
Oh,
like,
sure.
He should have been terrifying, and then he didn't have enough to work with. He just was there. The actor is great. I like him, but it was like, I know I'm supposed to be afraid of this guy because he's German. It's 1940s and he hates Jews. Yeah, right. But otherwise, I'm not threatened by this man.
Interesting. Okay.
But a lot of fun.
This is a very different review from last review of Civil War. So I'm equally intrigued by both of these movies. Not equally, but I am intrigued.
No, please don't say equally. But you know what, though? If I've done my job, you should be about equal.
I am. So you just kind of tooled around by yourself, puttered, as it were?
Yeah, I did a lot of work. I don't get a lot of work done with the girl here and also our daughter. So I just plugged away and boring stuff. Good. Did work.
All right. Fantastic.
I enjoyed the silence, as Depeche Mode would say.
Yeah, that's such a good song. And just so we're all on the same page, one of my multiple jobs is I work for a news service. And one of my jobs, one of the categories I write for, the beats, as it were, are adult contemporary music.
Oh, nice.
What comes to your mind when I say that?
Well, when I was younger, I guess I would have thought of like Kenny Loggins or Phil Collins or someone of that nature. Nowadays. Nowadays,
you want to know who's in?
I kind of don't. Is it the Foo Fighters?
If I say classic, they're classic rock, would that be more upsetting to you? They're not adult contemporary pop.
Oh, Jesus. They've aged out.
No, they're not. I wouldn't put them in classic, but some of the ones you wouldn't expect are in classic now. 25 years of classic. I'm talking Katy Perry, Britney Spears.
Wow. Real wow.
Kelly Clarkson, Christina Aguilera.
And as much as I imagine their main audience is 40 years old. Yeah.
Gary is fuming. Backstreet Boys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
this is a dark day.
It is a dark day. And speaking of that, which if they don't still, if they're not in AC, then I'm really screwed. But a girlfriend of mine invited me to one of these upcoming NKOTB concerts.
Oh,
that
nice.
Frankly, I always kind of thought I was too good for. And I was like, you know what? Let's go. It'll be sure. fun. So we'll be doing that. And I don't have to explain what NKOTB is an acronym for, do I?
I mean, not to me, you don't, but I may have an audience.
New Kids on the Block, everybody. Get it
together. There you go.
Okay. So, yeah, let's dip into my weekend so then we can get to those listener questions. I had a wonderful, surprising invitation back way sooner than I thought it would be for Good Day LA Plus. I just kind of show up there. I'm just on your TV, whether you agreed to it or not.
You guys, Gina's here.
We've had stuff to do with her. So I got a last minute invitation, which was so fun. I actually brought a couple clips, which I sometimes forget to do. I'm always trying to think of something fun to kind of goose everyone when I'm there, as opposed to my whole thing is I want my presence. And I think this is true in life. I hope you may disagree, Brian, because you've known me a long time. I want my presence to feel like light lifting for everyone else. You know what I mean?
Well, I can't disagree.
I don't want to feel burdensome.
I can't disagree in the sense that's what you want.
Asshole.
I mean, who am I to say?
You're such a dick. Oh my God. Okay. So yes, that is my goal. So I was, you know, do I bring props? Do I do joke? What do I bring to them that makes their life easier? So, you know, we're trying to think of stuff like about our show, obviously. And I bought these random, kind of TikTok approved clip in bangs that were like $16, $14. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, something that ladies love to try on, clip in hair. So okay. I just brought it, just threw it in my purse. And right before the camera, you know, right before we started, I was like, oh, does anyone want to see my clip in bangs? Every segment, a new woman on the panel was wearing them.
That's
so it was
great.
Like really funny. But this
Wait,
is how
did it match their hair color? I'm not familiar with the entire panel from this week.
One and a half of them out of three.
Okay.
But this is how it started because I didn't introduce the bangs. We were talking about the bangs during the commercial. So this is how my segment started. So Gary will fire that up for me.
I've seen worse.
Welcome back to GDLA Plus. Notice anything different here?
Besides Gina.
Which of these things is not like the other? Thank you.
So Gina brought in
okay,
these.
Okay, wait a second.
Gina brought in these clip-in bangs.
I like it a lot.
You do?
Yes.
Never
had
bangs.
Really good. Switch
it up.
So these are like the TikTok trend bangs, and I bought them, and I was like, well, these ladies have to see these.
So who is this?
So every second
you know, that looked pretty good on her.
They do. Every segment we come back and somebody else would be wearing them. It was very
good.
Funny.
Well, so it would be better if it wasn't discussed because all of a sudden someone else had bangs.
We did. I mean, you'd come back and we tried, but it was too fun. Yeah. Like I had to say something because whoever was wearing them was monumentally uncomfortable in them.
Sure.
But that was really funny. And then of course, you know, had to really clear the stage to talk about our show. So I thought what have we done lately that most people don't talk about on daytime TV? Breast reduction.
That's true.
So I was like, let's do this. So here then this is how we got into our segment about our show.
All right, so we love her. Gina Grad is here. She's one of the hosts of the Brian and Gina Show, the official podcast of Los Angeles Magazine. Okay, so you had a special guest on your podcast this week for a personal story.
Yes.
For you.
We did, and it's currently up right now. It is a guest named Dr. Elise Min, who performed my breast reduction surgery.
Yeah.
And I love her. She's amazing. I went to many doctors, and I just had a really good rapport with her, really good vibe. So I went with her, and we just kind of talked about the experience. I know it's just use your imagination. I was significantly larger. Oh, you don't have to use your imagination.
Oh, wow.
There's a picture of me. I have a before and after in the same dress, so you'll kind of get a vibe.
Yeah.
But it was really something I'd been wanting to do for so long, and I just couldn't pull the trigger.
Oh,
I just was scared.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I was really scared. I didn't know if the technology had sort of caught up to some of my fears about the whole thing, and she just made me feel so at ease. So got into, you know, really, again, cleared the court to talk about the Brian and Gina show.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was really fun. It's so, I'm not saying this in like a way. It's just so easy over there.
They're so nice.
It's just cool ladies. It's just
Have they ever had a male on their show?
Well, this is Good Day LA Plus. Good Day LA has a male co-host. I believe Melvin. He's very cool. We should have him on.
Yeah, I'm familiar. I'm asking about this little extendo situation. It's like The View, but way better.
Exactly. Excuse a touch younger. Jennifer Lammers, who we've had on the show, is on, and Sandra Endo and Aroxia. I always get her last name. Kareptian?
That's it.
Thank you. It's so fun. And Amanda Salas, who I think was the reason they invited me back, because we have to have her on. She's incredible. She's their like entertainment person. She's amazing. She like popped a vocal cord or something. Oh. Like she cannot talk.
She needs like Tommy John surgery on her vocal cords.
Yeah. Yeah. Like she has like some extreme laryngitis. So, thank you to Christian Anderson for letting me come back. And also I said something to him that I thought was going to come across really like bizarre and like unsavory. But then I was like, he works with all of these women. How bizarre can this request really be? I said, I don't know when you want me next, but I'm getting my hair done on the 9th. So do you need me on the 10th? Do you think? So I'll find out. Cause I want, you know, it's like, I don't want to waste a blowout.
Of course. So, no.
We'll find out about that. But that was super fun. And then in true like LA entertainment fashion, I'm like on this show and like, just cracking up with the Market 2 with the most glamorous ladies. And then I take all this shit off and go to Ralph's because I'm soccer snack mom the next day.
So
go get the granola bars and the apple juice and the whatever the hell. So did that. And then met Andy and the kid at Universal and just had a ball the rest of the evening. We are making money off those people and I'll never stop.
I was going to say.
They didn't count on us going like every day. And we almost did.
My version of this, and I'm glad you brought it up, is the aforementioned AMC movie A-list.
Yes.
Like I pay the $25 a month. I go to see minimum 4 movies, like, you know, once a week, oftentimes more. I can't imagine. They must have a police investigative style chart, you know what I mean? Like with like me pinned to the top. Yep. That's the one I gotta get.
That's the capo.
That's right.
Yeah. And
you gotta turn a profit this year. You gotta get this guy.
Gotta get Bishop. Didn't it used to be way worse? And then a lot of the movie services started cracking down because they didn't realize what they had done.
You're thinking of MoviePass.
Yes,
was a third party proprietary, like, and that actually was great when it was great, you know what I mean? Like, you
would go
a lot of movies for not a lot of price.
Right.
I think it was discontinued. It may have come back in a lesser form, in my opinion. But given the AMC in Century City is so close to where I live and it has 15 screens, and that you're gonna get all the big movies, and oftentimes, like, you know, a lot of like little Oscar movies too, in the past year, and it has the three large format. It has IMAX, it has the Dolby Cinema, and it has the Prime Cinema. So, I mean, it's almost literally a no-brainer.
Yeah. No, it's perfect. Yeah. If you can find something that you know you will take advantage of to the point where you're taking advantage of the company, hold on with both hands and don't let go. That's us with Universal. Saturday, we had the soccer game, very fun for the kids. And, you know, I brought the little snacks. We have a kid on our team whose mom runs a Russian bakery. So whatever we bring, whatever processed crap we bring, she always brings like crepes and jam or like powdered sugar chocolate crinkles. So that's very nice. I had a rough rest of the day on Saturday. My husband and stepson went to like, I don't know, wherever. They they were out messing around, playing basketball and going to, you know, card shops because they like to, you know, do baseball cards and Pokemon cards, whatever. So I was home for a long time alone, which is usually my favorite, but I binged a show and it's really good. And it should win lots of awards. But there is one episode in particular that is so upsetting. It ruined the rest of my weekend.
Oh, no.
Because it's being pushed so hard on Netflix right now. I'm sure you're familiar with the title. Have you heard about Baby Reindeer?
I've heard the title. I don't know what it's about. I mean, unless it's literally about baby reindeer.
No, it is not. It is an incredible limited series. I think it's 7 episodes. It's so good. The writing is so good. The actors are so good. It's very long story short. It's this guy who works in a pub who this kind of dowdy, sort of overweight, kind of quirky woman comes in one day and he feels kind of sorry for her. So he gives her a drink on the house and she becomes completely obsessed with him. And the plot unfolds about, you know, just how dark it is, but it's a black comedy. And the characters are so good. The writing is so good. But I believe it's the 6th episode. It could be the 5th. I feel like it's a 6th, though. I'm not sure. Is so incredibly upsetting.
Oh.
Ah. It's like the origin story of, like, why is the main guy even the way he is?
Oh, dear.
And it's just, it's so bothersome. And it's, yeah. And he's done so well. And he's such an incredible actor. But it really fucking ruined my weekend. So watch.
Do you know who the actor is off the top of your head?
No, I can tell you. I mean, well, in the show, he's Scottish. Gary, could you tell me the two?
If you don't know, don't worry about it.
No, I don't. I mean, you wouldn't know them, I don't think. But it's brilliantly acted. There's just one particularly upsetting episode, but the whole thing is so good. Let me just put it this way. You know how I avoid important movies when people say they're important because I know they're going to be really, like, hard to watch?
Yeah.
If there's Richard Gadd.
Oh, that guy's great.
Do you know who he is?
No.
Okay. You're going to see him a lot now, probably, because he's really good. And Danny Kerrane. Okay. What was I saying? When they have a title card before an episode that's like, if you or anyone you know is being abused, like, call this number. Oh. You're like, oh, boy.
Trigger warning.
Yeah. There's one especially tough episode that is very well acted, but really ruined my weekend. Otherwise, incredible series.
Gina with the hard sell.
I mean, I don't know how else to say it because I like disturbing stuff. I'm not normal. Like, I don't watch normal stuff. So you'd think this would have been no problem for me, but it was so good and so realistic and so sad and so fascinating. It bothered me, but it's a great series. And then Sunday, a brunch spot, a restaurant spot, a great restaurant that I maybe have mentioned once before. But if you are looking for great food in an unassuming place that every single person, including myself, when you put in the address and you take your ways over there, every person says the same thing. Two things. Is this the place and is it closed? It is the place and it is not closed. And it's awesome. It's a restaurant called Ca del Sol. Cadelsol. It's an old school. I think it's, I mean, like from the early 90s, maybe it's been in the same location in North Hollywood. Great Italian place. Oh. Waiters with the bow ties, you know, big banquettes and like, it's great. I just think it is so off people's radar. We were the first ones there at 11. So everyone's asking me if it's open. Yes, it's open. And then it started kind of populating as we were sitting and schmoozing and having fun. But Ca del Sol, great Italian food. The first time I was there, I got the rigatoni with pink sauce and peas and crumbled pork sausage. Mind-blowingly good.
Oh, wow.
Incredible. And I hate olives. I hate every olive, no exception. I wish I liked them. I know they're a superfood.
You speak fondly of Greece, and yet olives...
I just tell them in Greece, when I lived for a very short time, like a couple months in Greece, I had to learn the phrase, I'm allergic to olives in Greek, because people just would not believe you.
Sure. It's a hand you play to calamatas and
I would love to love them, but I don't. That being said, their tapenade is palatable. And I hate
That's a high endorsement.
When you cannot be on in the same room as a chopped up olive, and I will put it in my mouth and be like, palatable. Everyone else says it's extraordinary. I say, like, I can eat it.
Now, I got to drill down on this. Do you have any problem with olive oil?
I love olive oil.
I'm confounded.
Here's the thing. I love the smoothness and sort of the butteriness of olive oil. I hate the texture and the extra olivey aftertaste of an olive. Black, green, brown, pitted, stuffed, it does not matter.
Even like the ones you get at Whole Foods, they're like heavily garlic or heavily spicy or whatever.
I would rather just eat a clove of garlic. Now, my stepson loves olive to the point where I go to Trader Joe's and get those pre-packaged sealed packets of green olive and olive oil that for $1,000, I couldn't eat one of those, but he loves them and I'm grateful. So, but great restaurant. Ca del Sol had a wonderful brunch and, they are open. So just
good, yeah, good to know. That's the sign on the front.
Yeah. just because it's kind of hidden and it's kind of hard to see and but it's fantastic. All right. Should we do some listener questions?
Oh, please. We put it off long enough. Let's talk to, you want to just go back and forth on ping pong these? Well, I'll start with this because this one came in late. I did not get to send this to you. Whereas here it is from Jay Seitz from Seitz for 10. Just a compliment, but based on our discussion earlier, it's self-aggrandizing, yes, but it's also, hey, everyone, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. He says, movie reviews you give are always spot on. I've seen many on your recommendation and have never been disappointed. First of all, that's impossible. I disappoint all the time. Secondly, thank you very much. And let me know if this trend continues with either Civil War or maybe the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
And that title's a mouthful.
It is. It's not. It's for a movie that goes down so smooth, the title gets stuck in the esophagus.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now, I'm going to preface this, as we did last time we did this, by saying, we might not know the answers to your questions, but we're happy to read them.
Sure.
This is from the real Pat Nolan. He wants to, everybody has these questions. Again, we'll read all of them. We just don't know how satisfying it'll be. What role, if any, did a difference in politics play in your departure from the Carolla Show? Now, as many of you know, Brian and I were on the Adam Carolla Show for multiple years. Brian, I don't know, 37 years?
Give or take.
About 8 years. Mm-hmm. And then the beginning of, was it last year? Last year.
Last year is when this show debuted, yeah.
Right. At the beginning of last year, Adam said he kind of wanted to do his own thing and it wasn't personal and he just wanted to just do his own talking without the sort of group morning zoo vibe. And then Brian and I made our exit and came over here. So that, I guess, would be a question for Adam.
Yeah, if I'm to answer from my own perspective, I doubt very much that any personal or otherwise difference in opinions played any part in it. I'd be really surprised.
Yeah, I mean, he was very clear in our, dare I call it an exit interview?
I would.
he was very clear and I completely believe it and frankly understood at the time too. He just wanted to bring the show in. He didn't want, he didn't say this, but he didn't want to play off two people every day. He wanted to do his own thing. And he's completely entitled to do that. And totally. I still have lots of love for the man and agree with him on many things.
Yeah. So, love those guys over at the show. I think it's all guys all now. Guys. I love those guys and still talk to a few of them.
Fantastic. We got our Dawsons and our Chris's and our everybody. So all good on this end.
Indeed. The next question is this your Christian Anderson? The
one you were mentioning?
It's Sans the Hans. That's right. Well, I'll read his question. He says, if you're going away for a weekend getaway, do you prefer ocean, desert, or mountains? Luckily in LA, we're within an hour of really all three, a couple hours, but it's all within striking distance.
Yeah. I will say that I'm one of those people that just appreciates knowing that the beach and the ocean are here without having to see it myself all the time. I used to live in Manhattan Beach. I lived like literally on the beach. It's great. I feel like I had that experience. And I just like knowing it's close and having the bragging rights. For my money, I'm a desert slash mountain person. Mm. I love Big Bear. I love Mammoth. And I'm sure you'll hear all about it next week. We're going to the desert this weekend.
Ooh, nice.
So I find, being from Kansas, I've heard tell of mountains and they are beautiful. And I love the weather that comes with mountain living. I love it. I love the crispness. I love it. That being said, there is something so freaking magical about being in a desert that I was awakened to 20 years ago when I moved here. I've sat on it too long and now I can't afford it. But my dream was to always like, we'll just rent in LA and I'll buy a weekend house in the desert and I'll just go there and I'll sit in it with no Wi-Fi and be thrilled for 48 hours.
One with nature.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. So I guess just anecdotally, I would have to vote for desert. I find it to be such a magical, wonderful place. And I'm very happy there.
I don't have the reverence for the desert that you do, but I have spent plenty of time in the desert area of Los Angeles, La Quinta specifically. Yeah. Well, lovely area, wonderful. Everyone's very nice out there. The beach figures into our lives pretty prominently because we have a 7-year-old girl and she loves to go with Malibu and play in the water and such. So based on Christian's keyword of getaway, I would probably say mountains, even though I don't enjoy the mountains the most.
You don't? Like,
I would probably, just based on what I would really want to do, like you have one more weekend in your life to get away, I'd probably choose beach. But that said, we do beach a lot. So mountains is a nice actual getaway. We do the mountains maybe once every 2 years, you know what I mean? So that would be a nice change of pace.
Yeah. Well, that's fair. And because, you know, there's no wrong answer because that's one big reason people live here because you can do all those things.
That's right.
What did you do this on purpose? Here's back to my question. Oregon Ducks 2 wants
Oregon
to know.
Oregon Ducks 2.
Oh.
Come on.
Okay. A, that was funny. B, it's double funny because I play a lot of this game called Wordscapes.
Where
I do so much of it that the word itself starts losing meaning. So I'm like, what is unite? It accepted. Oh, unite. So this is, I do this a lot.
And to be fair to Gina, it is spelled weirdly.
With an X. Okay. That's Ducks. Right. Okay. Any chance Adam Carolla comes on the pod? Who knows SoCal more than Adam? I think that'd be awesome.
That'd be great. I feel like if we invited him on, he came on, he would be like, you know, the five things you hate most about Los Angeles. Although it would be quite a challenge to the Ace Man. Like, what are your five favorite things? You know what I mean? Or your favorite this or that? That would get him to stretch.
That's funny. Maybe we lure him with a promise of playing Mr. Brightside about.
Oh, how about
California.
That?
That could be fun. That's a great suggestion. One. Oregon Ducks too.
Oregon Ducks. Dominica Sexton asks us, if I move there, can I live in your backyard? Oh. I don't eat much and I'm half Mexican, so you'd be a social hero. Gina, I assume this question is for you.
The answer is yes.
Absolutely. I don't think you want to live in my backyard. It's a lot of bricks, although maybe that's better. I don't know.
We have a hornet's nest.
Oh, that's a problem.
Get rid of. Yeah. I mean, unless Dominicus wants to address that, that'd be great.
My backyard is also, well, I say a stone's throw. I think you'd have to have a pretty good arm, but a good stone's throw from the 10 freeway. So maybe that's equally deterrent.
Ah, okay.
Sorry,
so
Dominicus.
The answer is yes, but you might not want to. I am afraid to speak now. Natural Rio Falls. Or is it Natrolio Falls?
Natrolio.
Who's the comedian who gives you the greatest joy in town? I don't know if that's a secret coded answer, if that's a Joe Coy reference.
I should have thought of that about these questions beforehand.
Yeah,
but here's how you know it's pure. So we know so many comedians, you know, we're friends with comedians and such. I'm not going to play favorites because, you know, I love all those guys and girls. I'm not going to hurt anyone's feelings by saying this person, that person. I will instead answer with comedian I have seen perform live in this town who has thus brought me, you know, enough, a certain amount of joy. And by the way, for out of towners, I still believe Jay Leno performs pretty regularly, i.e. weekly, down at the Hermosa Beach Comedy and Magic Club.
No, he used to. Now, and I could be wrong, I may have cut you off too soon. I think he does in Flappers in Burbank.
Oh,
but
well,
yes,
listen,
he still performs.
If you're from out of town and you're like looking for a celeb sign, it doesn't get much bigger than Jay Leno.
No.
And the guy's doing like material, and you can see him performing, not just going to the TV taping, which is kind of lame. Like,
absolutely,
you're actually seeing the man in his element. That's it. At the Hermosa Beach Comedy and Magic Club, I saw, this is years ago, but Kevin Nealon delivered one of the best sets I've ever seen. And I really enjoyed it. And I really enjoyed him. And he is just such a nice guy. I knew him from the show, but I actually went to see him perform live. And you maybe wouldn't guess, but Kevin Nealon brought me just so much joy in that performance. Also, not the same night, but the same club, I saw Michael Richard perform at meltdown cancellation back in the day. And they were different experiences.
You don't say.
I got more joy out of Kevin Nealon, I will say.
Huh. And Kevin Nealon loves elephants.
He does. He loves one elephant in particular.
Just the one. Again, same. I mean, Brian and I have met the best of the best over the years. I mean, my favorites, perennial favorites, Patton Oswalt and John Mulaney and Pete Holmes. And I mean, we've met them all and they're all the best. And Joe Coy, it goes without saying. But I will say, and I thought you were going to mention him because I know you've seen him live. I got to pull rank at the dog park, which I did not mention a couple of weeks ago when we had Gigi, when we were dog sitting there. You know, you just chit chat and you hear conversations, and in LA, even at the dog park, everybody wants to be a one-upper and everybody
triumph wants the insult comic dog.
Yes. No, I heard these two women behind me, and one of them was bragging because she had met her favorite comedian, who is also the other chick's favorite comedian, but she met him. So she was obviously superior to her friend, this comedian named Adam Ray, who also does Dr. Phil. And she saw him live and she met him. So like, oh, nothing, I'm cooler than you. And this would have been a perfect opportunity for me to spin my chair around and get in on the conversation because he's like our friend.
Sure. Based on him.
Yeah. I just kind of like pet my dog and listened and basked in the joy of her one-upping her friend because she had met the great Adam Ray.
Please.
Well, just, and does the best crowd work of anyone I know.
Christy and I paid to see Adam. He performed at a comedy night at one of our many social clubs, and he was a headliner. I'm like, we gotta go see Adam Ray. I didn't even hit him up for free tickets. I paid full fare.
Yeah, he's the best. Brad Williams. I mean, we know the best. Now we can pull rank on you.
That's right.
We know the best. And nothing. Is it? It's probably a proper time for me to remind all of you.
Oh yes.
That Oh Nothing, Patton Oswalt gives a little word of encouragement on my book, My Extra Mom, on the back, because he's the best. And I'm still very, very proud of
some
that.
Heavy hitters right there.
Very heavy. Yeah, we got Lisa Lampanelli, for God's sake. We're talking about comedians and Dr. Drew and Dave Coulier.
I saw Lisa live back in the day. She's great.
The best. Natalie Coughlin.
That was an early date with Christy, actually.
That's risky.
Yeah.
Back when she was the queen of mean.
Yeah, but you know what, though? We had been dating for a couple of months, so I knew she was cool.
Okay, good. Because I used to go see Lisa Lampanelli in New York, and the first time I met her on the Adam Carolla show, I was so excited, but I was like stealing myself and prepared because I was like, she's very, very mean, and this is going to be brutal. And she was the nicest person I'd ever met.
She's very sweet. Her act, of course, was, you know, the queen of mean and all that. But it's funny how those people end up being nice.
She's the nicest. And now Lisa, forgive me if I'm not saying this correctly, but she's like a life coach. And
last I heard,
teaches like comedy workshops, and like she's amazing. She's just an incredible person.
Good for her.
I think we did the next question already. Italian.
Oh, did we?
Okay. Yeah. Last time you were submerged in the ocean, not to be confused with Brian's Halloween costume.
Sure, not just dipping your toe in or getting crushed in a submergible. Although I would argue those people were submerged in the ocean. That said, I know what you're saying. Last time you took a dip.
Yeah. I mean, a proper dip, like bobbing in the ocean. I'm going to have to leave California for that because, I lived in Manhattan Beach and all that, That being said, probably when we did one of our Corolla cruises and ended up in Nassau, and
that was a long time ago.
Yeah. And just sort of bobbed.
Pandemic.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, Gary reminded me you opted for the poker table instead of this. That was a different one. That was in Cozumel when we all went snoobaing.
That's right.
Is a combination of snorkel and scuba, which sounds easy. And it is. I don't know if Gary remembers this. I hope not, because I'd be really embarrassed. But and I didn't take to it as well as other people did. My lizard caveman brain was like, we're not supposed to be underwater this long. We're not supposed to be breathing like this. So my brain would get the best of me and I have to like pop up and like,
sure.
I was like scared. There was nothing wrong. It was a great experience and it was super cool. But my brain would get in the way and be like, I don't think humans are supposed to still be down here after 10 seconds. And I'd get a panic attack and go to the top. But it was awesome. It was very cool.
I understand that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, good. Gary doesn't remember that. The one who took to it like a fish in water, our good buddy Matt Fondelier, did not see that coming, that he'd be the best snooker. Yeah.
Oh,
really, really.
He was like instructor level good.
Yeah, he was like a little seal pup.
Oh, nice.
But I don't do a lot of just like free bobbing in the ocean out here.
Oh, there's a lot of you. Well, yes, but with a catch. So I'm thinking about it. I'm like, God, it has been since we were in Hawaii last year. I recounted the story on this very podcast, but then I realized it is the ocean technically, even though it's kind of a bay down in Balboa, on Balboa Island, right off the island. But yeah, we go swimming every weekend in the summer. And of course, Tessa is 7 years old, and thus mommy and daddy must alternately get in the water with her and roughhouse and whatever. So yes, the water down in Orange County has been a grace with my presence.
Thank you for reminding me that I went to Maui a year and a half ago and I forgot.
Did you go in the ocean?
Well, yes and no. Yes. Finally, the last day was like glass, but I still follow the snorkel report every day. I have to look at the snorkel report.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
Oh, yeah. It's unpredictable. Huh? So when we were there, it was the ocean was so angry for, 90% of it, you couldn't get in, but we did end up getting in the last day and a half, I think. All right, let's see. These are tough questions. So this is Ethan Banville wants to know, will LA ever get back to the beautiful place it once was? I mean, I still think it's pretty beautiful.
I think parts of it are really beautiful. I mean, there's obviously parts that have taken a hit with the excessive street living under overpasses and whatnot. To address that, I really believe this city will put forth a concerted effort right by the Olympics.
That's right.
I don't know that it'll solve anything. I just know that they'll address it. And I will say that might remedy some of our ills. That said, I agree with you, Gina. Overall, this is a largely beautiful city with some wonderful little pockets.
Yeah. And I mean, it'll either be a very expensive Band-Aid in 2027, 2028, or things really will change. And obviously, we're not insane. We know that, some things have gotten out of hand in some parts of the city for sure. But, when you're talking about, and we've talked about this before, but like, if you don't live here and you're watching the news, having a beautiful, quiet day in a lovely city is not making national news.
Right.
That's not what's going to be highlighted. But for those of us who live here every day, it's still, for the most part, lovely. And we're very happy here.
And having just traveled to London and Paris over the holidays, I will say it's kind of frustrating to see, so much that could be a quick fix out here. It's like, put some lights in the trees. You know what I mean? It'll really make things look a lot better. And certain Beverly Hills does that and looks amazing. Around, there's some lights in the trees and it looks really nice. We should do that all over. I understand LA is large and there's a lot of trees, but you know what? Make the city look really nice.
Yeah. Sparkle it up a little. And again, I think, like you said, the Olympics is going to do wonders for that. Sure. These two questions will combine because they're the same. I like movies more than you. Oh, Brian, I think that was shots fired.
That's a challenge, yeah.
And Jack C. Oh, last question, says Gary. Last question and a half. Do you still like Adam Carolla? Yes. Yes, we like Adam Carolla.
Well, Gina's not answering for me, but for sure for her. Yes, of course.
Yes, we still like Adam Carolla very much. And finally, Chris in the Gorge. Any tips for San Diego? I'm going on vacation there in June. I know this is LA Mag, but close to you. San Diego is fantastic. It's
lovely.
A great city. The Gas Lamp District is probably where you're going to be hanging out and doing your, you know, your pub crawls or your restaurants, your eateries. A really great part of town. They got Petco Park. They have the Coronado Island. This is all stuff that I know.
Zoo, of course.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah.
You probably are. You don't need me to tell you about the zoo.
They have the Roaring Shore. You could sleep at the zoo.
That's true. I'm glad you mentioned Petco Park because a Padres game is a really fun day, especially because the weather is almost always nice down there. Mm. Like you're going to get like a nice weather, a nice ball game, a good time. And I will say, in addition to everything Gina mentioned, San Diego has a very high density of breweries. So if you are down for like a little beer tasting or if you're an aficionado or if you're not, I would say check out some of the breweries. They have some great ones off the top of my head. Green Flash, Stone, of course. What's the one that's like, there's one that's like half. Actually, this is, Gary can look it up. Half of it's a brewery and half of it's a coffee shop. Like, like when I say coffee shop, like a roastery, like they're really into their coffee and they take it seriously. Some of their beers are full on like coffee infused. But if you like, you know, if you're going and one of you is a drinker and one of you isn't, this is heaven.
Oh, Modern Times.
That's it. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you. And I don't think I've been to the Little Italy in San Diego, but Gary says it's awesome. Oh, so
I'm not aware.
Yeah, all things that you are going to have to report back to us on, Chris, and tell us what you enjoyed so we can follow your lead. I am embarrassed that I was only doing this with two necklaces on this entire show. I know we're closing out, but just so I can say I actually looked pretty for this episode, I'm going to go put on my Alex and Ani stuff really quick. Hey, everybody. What's up? It's Gina Grad. And when you're searching for the perfect piece of jewelry, it can be hard to find a brand you trust. Alex and Ani has been creating meaningful jewelry for over 20 years, designing pieces that connect you with all of life's important moments. With an emphasis on value, there is truly something for everyone. They've recently launched their Everyday Collection. I could not love it more. These pieces are made from stainless steel and an advanced water-resistant plating method that doesn't tarnish. It has the look of real gold. It's beautiful. I love these pieces because they feel so classic, but they have so much versatility. Alex and Ani are also featuring some gorgeous pieces that I have right here, like Black Lotus, this gorgeous Black Lotus charm necklace, and their Stay Wild pendant, and their Wings of Protection necklace that have a classic and vintage feel. See that? And of course, you can't forget their signature bangle bracelets, which I'm also wearing. And I have a lot of their stuff. I have the numerology bracelets. I have the hula dancer to commemorate a meaningful trip I took to Hawaii. From classic to bold statement pieces, Alex and Ani makes it easy to sprinkle your personality into each piece or make a truly meaningful gift for someone you care about. Meanwhile, you can take comfort in knowing that you're shopping with a socially conscious brand, as Alex and Ani has donated over $60 million to nonprofits worldwide, connecting fashion and philanthropy in an easy, fun, affordable way. Right now, Alex and Ani is offering our audience 20% off. So check their gorgeous collection out at alexandani.com and use the promo code MEIDAS, that's M-E-I-D-A-S, at alexandani.com. Use that promo code at checkout for 20% off your order. Come and get something beautiful.
I'm Chelsea Ranieri, the host of The Zest, Orange Coast Magazine's official podcast, where I interview successful and notable people who have ties to Orange County. Listen to the stories of the lives and careers of guests such as iconic designer Paul Frank, Revolve's Marisa Girona, and cooking show host Salma Dada. Subscribe right now to The Zest on YouTube and on all audio podcast platforms at The Zest.
So yeah. Oh, by the way, I did wear three Alex Nani pieces on Good Day LA Plus.
Oh, no. Nice.
So yeah. So hopefully we gave you some ideas for the weekend and you gave us some ideas as well.
That was great. Thanks you guys for interacting with the show and sending us questions. Sorry we didn't get to them sooner, but we'll pay them off whenever we get them.
Yeah, we did mow through. That was the whole list. So we're gonna have to start over and get some new questions. Thank you. Please do us a favor. I know it's in one ear, out the other, but stop for a second. Like this podcast. Subscribe to it. Give it a couple of nice stars. If you don't like it, just scream into your pillow about it. But it really does help us. It really moves the needle for people who want to work with us. So thank you so much. Of course, you can always get in touch with us at BaldBrian, at Gina Grad on the socials. And we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Brian and Gina Show. To get in touch with the hosts or buy their books, hit them up at BaldBrian and at Gina Grad on Twitter and Instagram, or by email at podcasts@lamag.com. To get connected with LA Magazine, hit them up at LA Mag on Twitter and Instagram. Talk soon.